Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 16. Chapter 16 is entitled, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Today we are reading Text 18. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull, and he met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus, Dharma questioned the earth as follows. Purport. The bull is the emblem of the moral principle, and the cow is the representative of the earth. When the bull and the cow are in a joyful mood, it is to be understood that the people of the world are also in a joyful mood. The reason is that the bull helps production of grains in the agricultural field, and the cow delivers milk, the miracle of aggregate food values. The human society, therefore, maintains these two important animals very carefully, so that they can wander everywhere in cheerfulness. But at the present moment, in this age of Kali, both the bull and the cow are now being slaughtered and eaten up as foodstuff by a class of men who do not know the Brahmanical culture. The bull and the cow can be protected for the good of all human society simply by the spreading of Brahmanical culture as the topmost perfection of all cultural affairs. By advancement of such culture, the morale of the society is properly maintained, and so peace and proper prosperity are also attained without extraneous effort. When Brahmanical culture deteriorates, the cow and bull are mistreated, and the resultant actions are prominent by the following symptoms. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Vidati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled How Parikshit Maharaj Received the Age of Kali. And in the beginning of this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit has been actually enthroned as the king of the whole world. In the previous chapter, which was called The Pandavas Retire Timely, we saw how the Pandavas were ruling the earth after they won the war, the Mahabharata war, and Yudhishthir Maharaj was enthroned as the king. So they ruled for some time, and as soon as they heard that Lord Krishna has left the planet, all the Pandavas retired. They lost complete interest in worldly affairs or in ruling their kingdom because they were all pure devotees of the Lord. So because they could not bear separation from the Lord, all the Pandavas left their kingdom and went away to the Himalayas to meditate on the form of the Lord. And now Maharaj Parikshit has been enthroned as the king of the world. So Maharaj Parikshit, in the very first verse, it is mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit is ruling under the guidance of the twice-born Brahmanas or the sages. They are guiding him on how to rule the kingdom. And this is something which we are going to talk about today in the class. That what is this culture, this Brahmanical culture, where actually Kshatriyas always rule under the guidance of well-qualified Brahmanas. So that is exactly what Maharaj Parikshit is also doing. And he is always thinking of the welfare of the citizens. Because he is guiding, he is ruling under the guidance of the Brahmanas, his motive is not how to satisfy myself or how to exploit others, how to extort taxes from others so that my belly is filled. But his motive is always to look after the welfare of the citizens. And therefore, when he heard about the infiltrations of Kali Yuga, because it is mentioned that as soon as Krishna left, Kali Yuga set in. And all the symptoms, even Maharaj Yudhishthir could observe the symptoms or the bad omens of Kali. And the same thing even Maharaj Parikshit could hear while he was ruling the kingdom. And he was not at all happy when he heard that Kali is infiltrating into his kingdom. So being a Kshatriya, Kshatriyas always like the opportunity to fight. So he took up his swords and he took up his weapons and he mounted on his chariot. And he went out to fight this age or the age of Kali or the Kali personified. Because he wanted to keep the effects of Kali Yuga at bay as long as he was ruling the kingdom. So from this section now, before this, while he was traveling like this, trying to fight the effects of the age of Kali, he met so many people during his wanderings who were always glorifying his forefathers, the Pandavas. And Maharaj Parikshit was feeling so much happiness when he was hearing how Krishna was reciprocating with his forefathers and how his forefathers were such pure devotees of the Lord. And in the previous verse to this, there was the section where it is mentioned how Lord Krishna used to act as the messenger, chariot driver, servant of his forefathers. So hearing these glories of Krishna and his forefathers was giving a lot of happiness to Maharaj Parikshit. And from this section, the section is now starting on how he will receive the age of Kali and the symptoms of the effects. The symptoms or the effects of the age of Kali are evident now from this verse which has started. So now there will be a conversation which will start between Dharma, who is wandering in the form of a bull, and Mother Earth, who is wandering in the form of a cow. And how both of them are so aggrieved. It is mentioned Ekena, Pada Ekena, means Dharma is standing on one leg. The other three legs have actually been broken by Kali. And the cow is also grief-stricken, as if she has lost her offspring. If you see in India, I've seen this many times in India, I'm sure here also, but here everything is covered behind walls. But in India, you see that on the streets also. Sometimes when a cow gives birth, and if it's a stillborn calf, or you know, she has a master who's very ruthless, and the master is taking away the calf, then you actually see tears pouring down the cow's eyes. So cows are so sentient, animals are so sentient, they also have feelings. So we are seeing how the cow is so aggrieved over here and she's crying because of the state of affairs that are going on around her because of Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that how important it is for a civilized human society to look after the cow and the bull. And Prabhupada says that if the cow and the bull are maintained in a joyful state and if they wander around cheerfully on this earth planet, then only there will be joy and cheerfulness in the society. Otherwise, human society will not have any joy in their life if these two important animals are not looked after. But we see in the current society, are these two animals being given importance? No, there are animals like cats and dogs which are given much more importance than these two animals. Although cats and dogs are not providing anything. The bull is helping to till grains and the cow is giving milk. But still, these two most important animals are being neglected in today's society. And Prabhupada says that there is a class of men. In fact, Prabhupada mentioned somewhere else in one of the purports that there are four classes of men, the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and there are the Chandalas, the Yavanas, all these further subclasses who are even below the Shudras. But Prabhupada said that in Kali Yuga, people are actually 10th class. They don't even belong to the Yavana or the Chandala class. They are so fallen, so degraded the society is. And as Kali Yuga is progressing, it is getting worse and worse day by day. So these fallen people are actually using the cow and bull for their sense gratification. They are ruthlessly killing these two important animals just to get meat and to satisfy their taste buds. And this is because people don't see connection. People don't see connection between the state of affairs that is there today in the modern society. They are seeing there are so many calamities happening, there are so many natural disasters happening. But they don't see the connection that all this is because we have opened mass slaughterhouses and we are doing mass killing of animals. They in fact fail to see the connection between a living animal and the meat which is on their plate. In fact, in the Journey Home book, Radhanath Maharaj mentions one of his experiences. He had just come to India and he was wandering about in Delhi. And there was one gentleman, a kindly gentleman, who saw Maharaj and he approached him. And he started talking to him. And then he said that, would you like to eat something? And he took Maharaj to one of the eateries. In Delhi, we have lots of roadside eateries, like small, small restaurants. So he took Maharaj to one of these restaurants. And while going to that restaurant, Maharaj saw a cow and a little calf. In India, you find them on the roads. You know, they all the road is for everyone's use. So even cows and calves are there on the road, wandering about. So Maharaj saw this cow and mother cow and the calf. And Maharaj saw how much the calf was happy in the association of its mother. And the cow was also showering all her love on the calf. The cow was licking the calf while the calf was drinking the mother's milk. And you know, there was so much love in the cow's eyes for the calf. And they were peacefully sitting on the side of the road. And Maharaj was observing this exchange of love between the mother and the calf. And then when Maharaj sat down to eat food along with that gentleman, so the gentleman said that, I'll explain to you what is on your plate. And he started explaining, this is what we call roti, this is rice, and this is a curry, and this curry has meat in it, he said. Because that person thought, oh, Maharaj is an American, so he would like to eat meat. So he had ordered a meat dish for Maharaj. And the moment that person said that this curry has meat in it, Maharaj was appalled. Because he could immediately make the connection that, oh, this meat has come by killing one of these creatures whom I'm seeing so lovingly exchanging feelings on the side of the road. And immediately tears started pouring from Maharaj's eyes when he saw that sudden realization dawned on him about this connection. And he just pushed his plate away and he went away from there. And it is mentioned that on that day he vowed to be a vegetarian all his life. He had not come in contact with devotees or Krishna consciousness movement yet. But just by making this connection between the meat on the plate and the living creature he saw by the side of the road, he vowed not to eat meat ever again in his life. And there was a radio show once in which a lady was presenting. And this lady was very distraught apparently on the radio show. And she was really fighting on the show that, oh, she saw a dog. While she was coming for the show, she saw a dog on the side of the street. Now we know in many places dogs are not allowed inside, like some restaurants or some shops. So the owner had tied the dog outside to a post, to a lamp post, and the owner had gone inside for some shopping. And this lady, this radio presenter, apparently saw that the dog had been tied too close to its post. The lead which is there, that rope by which the dog is tied, that was not long enough to give movement, freedom of movement to the dog around the post. And he was too close to the post and he was restricted, his movement was restricted. So this radio presenter made a huge hue and cry about this. And she was telling on the radio show, I went and complained about this, how can they mistreat dogs like this, this is nothing but animal cruelty. So she made such a big hue and cry and they had to raise that issue and call the owner and they had to chastise the owner, oh, you can't tie your dog so close to the post. And when after listening to this radio show, some animal activists took up the cause and they actually spoke to this lady and they said that you were so concerned about this dog that too nobody was killing it. It was just tied close to the post for some time that the owner would have come back after his shopping was over. But you were so concerned for the dog, but we would just like to know what you had for dinner yesterday night. And the lady said, oh, I had a hamburger for dinner. And immediately these animal activists said that, don't you see the connection? You're feeling so sorry for the dog, but what you ate for dinner yesterday night was also some animal's meat. Don't you see the connection between that pig or from whichever animal that meat had come from in your burger, that was also a living creature? And it was not even given opportunity to be alive close to a post. At least the dog is alive after the whole ordeal. But this animal was killed, and that too killed brutally, just so that you get this meat inside your burger. So we see people usually fail to make this connection. In fact, Paul McCartney, who is one of the famous Beatles, he has given that famous quote. He's a vegetarian. And he really promotes the cause of vegetarian. He's an active member of the PETA. So he has given the famous quote, which many of you all must have heard, that if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be a vegetarian. Why? Because people will be able to make the connection that, you know, these animals are suffering while they are being killed just to give meat to us, or just to bring that, you know, chunk of meat or that burger patties or that meat patties in our burger. Just to bring that meat to our plate, all these animals are suffering in such a brutal manner. And therefore we see, actually there is a rule, in America especially there is a rule, that people are not allowed to enter slaughterhouses. Nobody is allowed to go and see how animals are killed. Because people who run these slaughterhouses, they know that if such footage is released outside, then people will become vegetarians. Because whatever it is, there is feelings inside people. When they see such suffering of animals, they definitely would feel and they would start becoming, at least people who have compassion in their heart, they would start becoming vegetarians. So, in fact, there was an issue which had come up 1 or 2 years ago in Australia only, that there was a big UN cry about the mistreatment of cattle which was exported from Australia to Indonesia, and how they were being mistreated in the abattoirs of Indonesia. And they were being treated in very inhumane conditions. They were all packed together. They were killed very brutally. They were not shown any sympathy while killing. So all this footage had been released by the ABC News. And it became such a big news in the country that actually the government had to stop export of live cattle to Indonesia for some time. Till, you know, there was education given to these abattoirs how to do slaughtering of animals, how to do it in a humane fashion. But when this footage was released by the ABC channel, 10%, it is mentioned, 10% of the population became vegetarian just by seeing this footage, because they saw that this is what, you know, animals have to go through just so that we can have meat. And therefore they decided not to, at least for some time, that much percentage of the population became vegetarian. So we see in this purport, Prabhupada is attacking the root of the problem. Prabhupada knows that meat eating and these bull and cow which are being killed is actually just a symptom of the problem. It is not the root cause of the problem. The root cause of the problem, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, is the lack of Brahminical culture in society. Because there is no training and because there is no culture, that is why we see these degraded aspects in Kali Yuga, where people are slaughtering cows and bulls just to satisfy their taste buds. And therefore we see, even, you know, a few chapters ago when Kali was, when Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days, at that time we see that Kali Yuga, as soon as Krishna left the planet and Kali Yuga started, what did Kali personified first do? Kali personified first attacked the Brahminical layer or the Brahmanas, and that is how Sringi, who was the son of Shamika Rishi, around whose neck actually Parikshit Maharaj puts the dead snake, that is how Sringi became very proud of his Brahminical prowess, because Kali Yuga had attacked that head of the society, the Brahminical layer, and this made Sringi proud, and he cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days. So even Kali Yuga knew that attack the root of the problem so that all the other classes of society will crumble, and therefore the Brahmanas were first attacked, and then, you know, the Brahminical layer completely fell down after the Sringi incident. Because all the Brahmanas then, and there are verses which come in that section, where it is said that then the Brahmanas started falling down. That in the olden days, when the Vedic culture was present, Brahmanas were characterized by their simplicity, by their austerity. But all these virtues were lost. And they just became money-making. Brahmanas used their Brahminical qualification or their birth as a Brahmana just to make money and to fill their bellies. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that this is what Brahmanas were just doing after the Brahminical layer fell down. And in the 7th canto, we are studying that in our Bhaktivedanta course right now. We've just started the 7th canto and the pastime of Hiranyakashipu and Narasimha Dev. So in the 7th canto also it is mentioned that Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry after his brother Hiranyaksha had been killed by Varaha Dev. So he calls all his demon soldiers, he calls all his demon followers, and he tells them that now I'm going to go and kill this Vishnu. How dare he kill my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so dear to my heart. And while I'm engaged in killing Vishnu, all of you go down to earth planet, where Brahminical culture is really flourishing and everyone is so happy. Brahminical culture, that means following of Vedic scriptures, study of the Vedic scriptures, sacrifices, charities, austerities, rules, regulations, vows, all these things are being very nicely followed, and therefore the earth planet is flourishing. So he told, all of you all go down and attack earth and destroy this Brahminical culture. Because Hiranyakashipu is a demon, so like Kali, he also knew, attack the head of the society, which is the Brahminical culture or the Brahmanas, and the rest of the things will just collapse. So that is what he told all his associates to go and do. So Brahmanas actually cultivate these qualities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Brahmanas should cultivate Sama, which is peacefulness, Dama, which is self-control, Titiksha, which is tolerance, Satyam, truthfulness, Shaucham, cleanliness, Arjavam, that means they are very simple. So these are some of the qualities which Brahmanas should cultivate. And once the Brahmana has acquired the Tejas, because of cultivating Satyam, Shaucham, Sama, Dama, Tapa, all these things will give them that Tejas or the Brahminical power, and that will help them to guide the other three classes of society. So when this Brahminical layer is attacked, then who is there to guide the other three classes of society? And therefore we see that all these austerities, study of scriptures, everything stops once the Brahminical layer is gone, or once the Brahminical culture is stopped. And that is what Hiranyakashipu had in mind. He wanted to stop all this so that the demoniac culture can spread on the earth planet. And he gives lots of verses. After that, Hiranyakashipu gives lots of instructions to his followers. He also says that go to those areas where cows and brahmanas are being protected. Because these two, protection of cows and protection of brahmanas, these two are the main aspects of Brahminical culture. So Hiranyakashipu tells his followers, go down and attack these places and set them on fire. Don't allow Go Raksha and Brahman Raksha to go on. Please stop all this and go and set fire to all these places. So we see Vedic culture of this Varnashrama Dharma, which was present before, that was actually a very scientific culture of, you know, having the four Varnas and the four Ashramas, that is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and Grahastha, Sannyas, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So this was a very scientific culture which was present in the Vedic time. But also it is one of the most misunderstood cultures, especially by the so-called Vedic scholars of modern day. In India we see especially, you know, there are so many Vedic scholars from all those Varanasi University and all these universities. They sit and study these Vedic culture and they apparently conclude that we want a classless society, or we want a uni-class society. We don't want these classes of, we don't want men to be classified into these four Varnas, that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They actually propagate that this whole system of having the four classes of Varnas and Ashramas was started actually by some exploitative Brahmanas or priests who just wanted dominion over the other three classes, and who wanted to control them, and who wanted to exploit the other three classes. That is why this whole system was started. That is what these so-called Vedic scholars propagate. And they say that is why we want a uni-class society, where everyone is equal. No classification of men, and also women are equal to these men. So that is what they are trying to promote. But Prabhupada says that although they are trying to say that, this natural division is already there in society. We see there are people who have proclivity to ruling the kingdom, or sorry, to ruling the earth planet, all these politicians, there is a proclivity in them to rule. It is just that they are misguided, but the proclivity is there inside to rule the citizens. We also see there are many people who have the proclivity to be soldiers or to fight for the nation, or the police force, for example, if you see, there are so many people who are attracted naturally to this post. We also see people who are attracted naturally to trade and business, which is Vaishyas. So these natural proclivities are already there. In fact, we have many times something called as aptitude test. I don't know if it's there in Australia, but in India we have that. Just to find out what aptitude you have, or what is your innate nature, whether you are attracted to finance, or you are attracted to business, or you are attracted to politics. There are aptitude tests to determine what is your innate nature. So these natural divisions are already there in society today, even though people are trying to have a classless society. If we take the example of some company also, any organization you take, there are actually these divisions even within an organization. So we have the R&D department, the research and development department, for example. That is the think tank of the company. So that means that is the Brahminical layer. Then we also have the laborers who work actually on the shop floor, producing things, working on machines. So that is the Shudra or the laborer class of the society. We have accounts and finance who look after money. We have management who are like the ruling. They are the Kshatriya class who are actually ruling the company. So even within a small company, these natural divisions are already there. And Krishna says, but you know, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shristham, Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. So when these Vedic scholars are promoting this, that this whole thing, Varnashrama, was actually started by some exploitative people, they are thinking only about birth. They are thinking this is qualification which is acquired only by birth. If you are born in a Brahmin family, then you will be a Brahmana. If you are born in a Kshatriya family, you will be a Kshatriya. And especially the Brahmin class was exploiting. They had fallen down in Kali Yuga and they were exploiting the other three classes, because of which everyone wanted a classless society. But Krishna says that it is based on guna and karma. It is based on proclivities, or it is based on what is your action and what is your guna, or which guna, or the material mode of nature that you were born in. And something which the Lord has created, He says, Chaturvarnyam Maya Shrishtam, I have created this. Chaturvarnyam, I have created these four classes of men. Then who are people to stop this? Something which the Lord has created can never be destroyed. So these four classes of Varnas are going to be there in society. And we see that it is only by guna. So Brahmanas are usually in Sattvagun. Because there are some people who are naturally in the mode of goodness. So Brahmanas are usually in Sattvagun. Kshatriyas are in Rajogun. Then there are Vaishyas after that. So Vaishyas are in a mixture of Rajogun and Tamogun. And then there are Shudras who are just in Tamogun. So it is all based on guna, what mode of material nature people are in and what actions they are performing. This is what determines what class of society does a person belong to. So for example, we'll take the example of Vaishyas. Now Vaishyas naturally have the tendency to make money. They naturally have the tendency to do trade. They naturally have the tendency to do business or economics. And these Vaishyas are actually meant to protect Goraksha and Krishi. That means protection of cow and farming. These are the two main occupations of Vaishyas. And not Goraksha or protection of cow so that they nicely feed them and later on they can eat them nicely. That is not the meaning of Goraksha. In fact, once when Prabhupada was translating his books, and Krishna says over there, Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. So that means Goraksha and Vanijyam, trading, is actually the characteristic of a Vaishya, Krishna says. And when Prabhupada was translating this, he translated Goraksha as cow protection. And one of his proofreaders, like one of the early devotees who was proofreading the whole thing, he actually cut out cow protection and he wrote cattle raising for Goraksha. And then it came to Prabhupada's notice. Prabhupada was again reading that. And Prabhupada actually put a circle around that. And Prabhupada said, this is nonsense. He said, Goraksha does not mean cattle raising. Cattle raising is what modern farmers are doing. We see there are so many farms, even in Australia and even in US, wherever in these Western countries. There are so many big farms with thousands of cows and bulls, which they are fed. Obviously, they are not fed nice green grass. They are fed all those hormone-added foodstuffs so that they become nice and fat. And every cow can give them lots and lots of beef. So this is what is called as cattle raising. That raise cattle nicely, feed them all these genetically modified foods, feed them hormone-added foodstuffs, which actually the cows don't want to eat. Make them fat in a short span of time and then kill them so that you get lots of meat. So there is a big difference between cattle raising and cow protection. Goraksha or cow protection, which Prabhupada says in today's purport also, is actually worship of the cow, because the cow is one of your mothers. The cow is giving us milk and therefore she becomes one of the mothers. Like we have seven mothers, our own mother, the cow, because she gives milk, then the earth, the nurse, Guru Patni, Brahman Patni, like that the wife of the king, like that seven mothers are mentioned in the Vedas. So one of the mothers is the cow, because she is giving us milk. And Prabhupada says that milk is miracle food for human civilization. When we drink milk, which has come after loving care of the cows, that milk actually nourishes and our brain tissues and gives us the finer intelligence by which we can understand spiritual topics. So this is actually Goraksha, or this is actually cow protection. That you worship the cows as your mother and you lovingly look after the cow, so that the cow reciprocates and gives you nice milk, which again sharpens your spiritual intelligence. And even Krishna was loving cows. We do this, or farmers do this, or Vaishyas do cow protection, because Krishna is actually Go Brahmanya Hitayacha. He loves cows and he loves the Brahmanas, and therefore Prabhupada says that human beings will be happy and joyful if they also look after cows and bulls nicely. In fact, there is a pastime when Krishna was actually, he became a qualified cowherd boy at the age of 5. Before that he was actually a herder of calves. So when he became a qualified cowherd, so the next day they were going to celebrate the whole festival of Krishna actually starting to take cows for herding as Gopashtami. And before, the night before, Krishna goes to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda tells Krishna that now you are going to start herding cows. Now you have become big. He was actually just 5. But you know, which mother of a 5-year-old child will give him millions of cows to herd? People will get scared. But Krishna was different. So Krishna, Mother Yashoda actually tells him that now tomorrow onwards you are going to start herding cows. And calf means the boys are instructed, just take them till, you know, the outskirts of the forest. Don't go deep into the forest with the calf. So that they could always see. Mother Yashoda had kept that rule that if I get up on the tower of our palace, I should be able to see you. So don't go further than that distance. But now Krishna was going to herd cows. And cows are usually taken a little bit deeper into the forest, because the grass is much better there and there is more quantity of grass over there. So Mother Yashoda knew that going deeper into the forest means there will be thorns on the ground, there will be lots of pebbles, and Krishna will have to tread all these things. And Krishna never used to wear sandals when he was going for herding calf. So this time Mother Yashoda made very nice sandals for Krishna. And he said that now since you will go deep into the forest, please wear these sandals and go, because your feet are like butter. They are so soft that they will get hurt when you walk on pebbles and thorns. And Krishna immediately asked. He said that, but what about for the cows? And Mother Yashoda said, oh, but the cows already have strong hooves. They don't need these shoes. You have very soft feet. And Krishna said, no. If you give shoes or sandals for all of my cows, for all of their feet that too, then only I will wear sandals and go into the forest. And you know, Mother Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows multiplied by 4, because each cow has 4 legs. So obviously it was beyond Yashoda Maya to prepare shoes for so many cows. And Krishna refused that I'm not going to wear shoes and go if my cows don't wear shoes. So much love he had. And the cows also used to reciprocate like this with Krishna. So when the cows heard, they came to know that Krishna is not going to wear sandals because we are not wearing any shoes. So what all the cows did, they continuously thumped the land of Vrindavan. They continuously stamped, so that all the pebbles, everything became very fine. And then the dust of Vrindavan became very soft. So the cows also reciprocated like this, that if Krishna is not going to wear shoes, then let us make the land of Vrindavan very soft, so that Krishna can walk nicely without getting hurt. And even today when we go to Vrindavan, we see how soft the dust of Vrindavan is. So next day when Gopashtami was there, they did the whole festival. And usually what happens, we must have seen even in pictures, when cowherd men take their cows for herding, they have a stick in their hand. And usually the cowherd men are behind the cows. And they, you know, like sort of prod the cows with the stick to walk ahead. And the cowherd men are guiding from behind. So even Krishna, Balram and all the cowherd boys, they also had sticks in their hands. And they stood behind the cows. Obviously, but Krishna and Balram and the cowherd boys never used to use the sticks for hurting the cows or hitting the cows. Those sticks were more for playing games and not more for hitting the cows. So they stood behind the cows, but the cows refused to move. None of the cows were moving ahead and they were just keeping on turning behind and looking at Krishna. And you know, nothing is happening. They have to start now herding the cows in the forest, but the cows are not moving. So then the cowherd boys told Krishna that the cows love you so much that they will always want to have darshan of you. And that is why they are continuously turning behind and looking at you. And also they have the fear that if they start walking ahead, what if you are not there behind them? What if they lose you? So Krishna, it's better you go in the front and automatically the cows will run behind you. Because they love you so much and they want to always be in your association, they will continuously run behind you. So they change positions actually, and any photos we see of Krishna and Balaram herding cows, they are always in the front and the cows are actually following behind. So this is the love which Krishna has for cows, and that is called as Goraksha or protection of the cows. That you worship the cow as a mother, and that then only there will be reciprocation from the cows, and they will give you nice milk so that you get the spiritual intelligence to understand spiritual topics. So the Vaishya class, like they look after these cows, they do farming, so only the Vaishya class is allowed to make money in this way. They do trade, they do business. All the other three classes are not allowed to make money. The Kshatriyas don't make money, the Brahmanas obviously don't make money, and even the Shudras don't make money. So how do they survive? The Brahmanas actually survive on charity. They just survive on begging alms. Whatever they get in charity, they keep for something for their subsistence, and whatever extra they have, they just distribute. Therefore it is said, Brahmanas, the work of a Brahmana or the qualities of a Brahmana is Pathan, Pathan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana and Pratigraha. Means they do Pathan, they study the scriptures, they teach the scriptures. Yajan, Yajan, they do sacrifices and they teach others how to conduct sacrifices. And Dana means they accept charity, and Pratigraha means they give in charity also. So what would the Brahmanas give in charity if they are not earning? It is whatever excess they receive. So Brahmanas never store things in their house. They are never allowed to stock things. That only will keep them simple in life. So whatever excess charity comes, they immediately give it off. And Kshatriyas, they also don't go out and make money. So then how do they survive? They survive by extracting taxes. They take taxes from the people, but only to give back to the people for the welfare of the people. And Shudras survive on whatever is being given by the other three classes to them. So Shudras actually are given old clothes, or Shudras are given old food, like the food which these other three classes eat. Shudras survive on the food and the clothes given by these three classes. So this is how these three classes survive. But we see that in Kali Yuga, four classes are falling down. So we see how Kshatriyas were not allowed to work, even Shudras were not allowed to work, and Brahmanas are also not allowed to work. So Kshatriyas would never actually ask charity. They would only extract taxes. And that is the story we see in the story of Jarasandha also. When Krishna and before the Mahabharata war, when Krishna, they saw that Jarasandha was becoming extremely powerful. So then Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna, they three go to Jarasandha. But what do they go as? They go as in the guise of Brahmanas. Because they knew that Jarasandha is extremely difficult to be defeated if we wage a war against him. So there has to be a one-on-one combat. Only then Jarasandha can be defeated. And therefore they went in the guise of Brahmanas. And when Jarasandha saw them, he asked, "Who are y'all and what do y'all want?" And Krishna said that we are Brahmanas and we have come to beg charity from you. And he asked, "What charity do y'all want?" Because, you know, they three were looking very well-built Brahmanas because they were actually Kshatriyas. So he said, "What charity do y'all want?" And he said that we want the charity of fighting with you. So even when Krishna, you know, they had to beg this charity, they took the form of the disguise of a Brahmana. Because Kshatriyas are never allowed to actually beg. They are only allowed to extract taxes. So we see that all the classes of men, but in Kali Yuga, is falling down. And because the Brahmanas have fallen down, the Brahminical culture is not there, and the Kshatriyas are not ruling under the guidance of the Brahmanas, the other three classes have started taking up power in Kali Yuga. And it is mentioned that whenever Shudras or the laborers take up power in their hand, then we have what is called as communism. And I was actually reading what is communism, and it was said that communism means putting the laborer class equal to everybody else and giving the power in their hands. So that is communism. So whenever the Shudra class comes to power, because Brahmanas are not there to guide, it has fallen down, then there is communism. Then whenever the Vaishya class comes to power, they take power in their hand, then we have what is called as capitalism. Because Vaishyas means trade and money, so capitalism flourishes when Vaishyas come to power. When Kshatriyas come to power, without the guidance of Brahmanas, of course, then there is dictatorship. And we see in Egypt, we see in so many countries that dictators, they were just dictators and that too exploiting people. And then that whole thing had to fall down. They had to be killed by the people. So Kshatriyas come to power without the guidance of Brahmanas, then there is dictatorship. But when Brahmanas are allowed to be powerful, only then is there monarchy. And monarchy is the best method, which Prabhupada also mentions. In the Vedic system, monarchy is the best method. Where the brahmanas, because they are doing this tama, dama, tapa, shaucham, arjavam, they are leading these simple lives and they have so much brahmanical power. They are able to guide the kshatriyas properly. And the brahmanas are so simple. They are so detached from wealth, money, prestige, fame. Therefore, they are able to guide the kshatriyas. And we see, in, you know, like Lord Ramachandra, for example, when we say brahmanas come to power and monarchy is there, we see Lord Ramachandra. He was ruling under the guidance of Vasishtha Muni. Or we see even Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was also ruling under the guidance of able brahmanas. Or as we see, when the moment Maharaj Parikshit was enthroned, in the first verse of this chapter, he was also ruling under the guidance of brahmanas. But when these kings stop taking the guidance of brahmanas, then there is chaos. And in the Bhagavatam itself, there is one pastime of a king who was not taking the guidance of brahmanas. And that was King Vena. So because he tried to rule, we studied that pastime, I think it's in the fourth canto. Because he tried to rule without the guidance of brahmanas, there was complete confusion and the citizens were not happy. In fact, the brahmanas went and told King Vena. He was doing atrocities, he was doing so much cruelty in his kingdom. And the brahmanas went and guided him, actually, that this is not the way you rule the kingdom. The Supreme Lord is the, you are a representative of the Supreme Lord and you rule it in that way for the welfare of the citizens. But he completely mocked the brahmanas. And then the brahmanas had actually to kill King Vena. Just by their words, it is said, because brahmanas usually don't take up weapons. So just by their words, the brahmanas, by their power, they killed King Vena because he was not taking guidance of society, of brahmanical society. So we see in Kali Yuga, all classes of men have fallen down. The brahmanas have fallen down, the entire culture is lost. And because that culture is lost, there are so many brothels, slaughterhouses, gambling casinos, bars, liquor shops. So many of these vices have come up in Kali Yuga. Factories, big factories. So Prabhupada says that these modern men has created artificial necessities for himself. And when Prabhupada says artificial necessities, we know in our own lives, we see that, you know, olden days when I was young, there was no mobile phone and we survived without it. But now when we think about it, do we think we can survive without a mobile phone? Mm-hmm. So we have created that artificial necessity. There was no computer. You know, just talking a few years ago, when we were young, there was no computer. Or there were no emails and all that. And still we had a childhood, still we studied, still we managed everything. But now we can't think of life without a computer. We can't think of life without mobile phone. So Prabhupada says that modern man has created this artificial necessities of life. And because of that, he has brought about suffering on himself. So Prabhupada says that these nuts and bolts and these big factories are actually not going to fill anyone's stomach. It is only farming or krishi and goraksha. Those are the only two things which are required in society. Farming, that means grow your own food grains, and cow protection, so that you get ample food stuff from the cow, like milk, yogurt, butter, cheese, so many things you can get from the cow. So only these two things are required. And we see that the degradation is there at all levels. Brahminical culture is lost because Kali first attacked the brahmanas. And nowadays the brahmanas are just money-making businesses. They feel, you know, first of all, brahmanism has become by birth. It is not by qualification. You are born in a brahmanical family, so you are automatically a brahmana by birth. And then it is all for making money. In my own house, because my family comes from a brahmanical, like so-called born brahmanas. So whenever there is some function and they know that these people have the death ceremony of their forefather or there is some other puja which has come up, immediately those brahmanas will come, even without we having to call them. Because they want to do little puja, they will drink coffee. They will say, oh, coffee, make coffee for us. So they will drink coffee, do little puja and take money and go. So it has just become a money-making business, the brahmanism. And even vaishyas, so brahmanical layer has fallen down. And if we see vaishyas, that class of society has also completely fallen down. See, we see that vaishyas means trade, business, product. They sell products in the market. But nowadays, all products in the market are completely adulterated. You take the example of milk. We hear of so many times in the news also that there is so much contamination in the milk nowadays. Nobody is able to get pure milk. And devotees then try to get some milk from some farms. At least, you know, that will be pure, that won't be contaminated. So milk is completely adulterated. Any product you take, foods, fruits, vegetables, you know, all those GMO, genetically modified organisms, it is said, they are all introduced in the fruits and vegetables. There are so many pesticides, so many preservatives. So all foodstuff which is being sold by these Vaishyas are completely contaminated. Even meat, if you take the example of meat, I'm sure you all must have read in the news, it's been coming over the last week, that so many outlets, it was in Ireland or Britain or somewhere, so many outlets of a company called Tesco were closed down. Why? Because horse meat was discovered in their burgers, their beef burgers. So they closed down these outlets because how can there be horse meat? It is actually supposed to be beef. And therefore they closed. So even meat is adulterated. You know, I was reading about these news and I was thinking, how does it matter? You know, whether a cow was killed. For you, you know, it's meat. Whether a cow was killed or a horse was killed. And actually it's better a cow is not killed. At least, you know, that sin is lesser. Because Krishna says cow killing is the worst offense that someone can do. But there was a big UN cry and all these outlets were closed down. Because there was adulteration and because horse meat was present. And the reason is given that, you know, horse meat is actually not poisonous. It is edible. For it is okay for human consumption, but it is not in our culture to eat horse meat. You know, big culture they have. They are eating cow meat, that doesn't matter to them. But, you know, it is not in our culture to eat horse meat. And therefore they closed down those outlets where horse meat was discovered in burgers. So we see the Brahmana class fallen down, the Vaishya class fallen down. The Kshatriya class, the ruling people, what are they doing, all these politicians? They are just extracting taxes. So in the olden days also, taxes were extracted by the Kshatriyas. But because they were guided by the Brahmanas, they always used to think of the welfare of citizens. And they used to give back those taxes to the citizens. So Kshatriyas were actually compared to sun. So just as sun extracts water from the ocean, but what does the sun do? It gives back in the form of rain. So similarly, Kshatriyas would take taxes from the citizens, but they give back everything in the form of amenities, in form of facilities for the citizens, promoting Vedic culture, having sacrifices being performed, having schools where Vedas could be studied. So in this way, Kshatriyas used to give back. But nowadays, there is just that exploitative Kshatriya class or exploitative ruling class which is there. They keep extorting taxes and they don't give back the citizens enough. And therefore, there is so much dissatisfaction of people with their governments. So the Kshatriya or the ruling class has also fallen down. And Shudras. Now, Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports in Bhagavatam that Shudras are actually meant to be, the quality of Shudras is they should be completely loyal to their master. That is the quality of a Shudra. Just as Brahmana is simplicity and Brahmateja, Kshatriya is chivalry, Vaishya means trade and money, like that Shudra means loyalty. So till their master dies, the Shudra should always be with just one master. And he should accept whatever is being given by the master. Whatever food is given, whatever clothes are given, he should just survive on that. That is what Shudras should be actually, ideal Shudras. But in Kali Yuga, even this class has fallen down. So we see now, nowadays in companies, there are so many unions of these laborers. And these unions are always fighting with management for more and more. Oh, we want more money, more rights, more benefits. Always there are fights between the unions and the management. Because the Shudras are never satisfied. And if in the olden days, especially in India, where we have the servant system, there used to be generations of servants who would stay with one family only. The father would serve that family, then the father would die, the son would serve that family. Generations of servants would serve one family. And they would be happy. Whatever food is being given by that family, whatever salary is being given by that family, they would be happy with that. But now we see today's Shudras, there is no loyalty to the master. Even the dogs are better in their loyalty. We see now there are so many body shopping organizations which have come up. People who are in the IT line will know that there are body shoppers. Body shoppers means what they do? They keep shopping actually for bodies. If you are working with a so-called IT company, the other IT company is offering $5,000 per annum more or something, immediately that person will leave that job and go to this new job. So where is the loyalty? Just for a few $1,000s more or a few ₹1,000s more, people leave their master. These Shudras leave their master and take on a new master. But in the olden days, it was considered a great blemish for a Shudra. if he actually gives up his master and accepts another master. So this is how the Shudra class has also fallen down. So we see Prabhupada says that the symptom of the problem is cow slaughter and bull slaughter. But the root cause of the problem is this lack of Brahminical culture. So Prabhupada wanted that we all study the Varnashrama Dharma very carefully, especially the values and the characteristics of the Varnashrama Dharma very carefully, because they give us the framework. Varnashrama Dharma actually gives us the framework or the ideals by which we need to live, or human society can live, or on which we can base our lives. We know what is expected of a Brahmana, we know what is expected of a Kshatriya, we know what is expected of a Shudra or a Vaishya, and we know what are the standards that we need to live up to. And Prabhupada wanted on a broader level this Varnashrama Dharma to be established in society for smooth functioning or happy functioning of the human society. And Prabhupada also mentions that Daivi Varnashrama Dharma is actually what is possible in Kali Yuga. We might not be able to get qualified Brahmanas, we might not be able to have Kshatriyas now in Kali Yuga, but Daivi Varnashrama Dharma is something which can definitely be established, and that is what Prabhupada wanted members of ISKCON to establish. So Daivi Varnashrama Dharma means Krishna is in the center of the entire Varnashrama system. And whatever Varna or whatever ashram you belong to, whatever is your proclivity, even if you are a Shudra, if you worship Lord Krishna very nicely, then that is the perfection of your Dharma. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, it is said, Atha Pumbir Vija Shreshtha Varnashrama Vibhagashah Svanasthitasya Dharmasya Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. So Atha Pumbir Vija Shreshtha Varnashrama Vibhagashah. Whatever Varna or Ashrama you belong to, the perfection of any Varna or Ashrama is Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam, to satisfy Hari or to satisfy Lord Vishnu. That is the perfection of Varnashrama Dharma, and that is the Daivi Varnashrama Dharma which Prabhupada wanted to establish in today's society, in today's Kali Yuga, because normal Varnashrama Dharma is very difficult to establish. So Prabhupada wanted that even if a Shudra worships Lord Krishna nicely, then he should be respected. And there is the example of Kanchipurna in South India. Now he was one of the gurus of Ramanujacharya. Kanchipurna was actually a Shudra. But Kanchipurna had the service of fanning Lord Varadaraj in Kanchipuram. Lord Varadaraj is a form of Lord Vishnu. He used to fan Lord Varadaraj, and because he was a pure devotee, although he was a Shudra, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord actually used to have conversations with Kanchipurna. And you know, many people used to come to Kanchipurna and tell him, he was so well respected, even by the Brahmanas, that you please go and ask Lord Varadaraj today this for me, or you please go and ask that question for me. And he could actually talk to him and give answers to people. So although a Shudra, he was so well respected because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So whatever Varna or whatever proclivity, whatever Guna we have, if we simply worship Lord Krishna, then we have established this Daivi Varnashrama system. And Prabhupada in the same seventh canto where Hiranyakashipu is instructing his demoniac followers to go and destroy the Brahminical culture and set fire to places where cow and bull protection is going on, Prabhupada actually says, he says that this Brahminical cult or this Brahminical culture can only be revived by the Sankirtan movement of the Lord. It can only be revived by chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So if the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is there, and if Sankirtan of the Lord is being done by devotees, then only there will be Brahminical culture, and then only we will have real Brahmanas and Kshatriyas in the society. So without this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or without keeping Lord Krishna in the center, there is no hope of reviving this Brahminical culture, and there is no hope of stopping all these symptoms which are lack of Brahminical culture, like slaughtering of cows and bulls and all these brothels, casinos which have come up. So Sankirtan or holy name of the Lord is the only solution to revive the Brahminical culture, which Prabhupada talks about in this purport. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments or corrections.
Thank you, Madhuri, for the nice discussion. And we gave a few other things called Igami. He gave him how he was killed. And Sardam so the dictatorship, they're afraid, you know.
Dictatorship.
So the only way is Krishna, nothing else. Thank you.
Any other questions?
You said that painting comes from the light of God.
So there is a big sorry. The question is that Prabhupada mentions in many purports of the Bhagavatam that milk is called as miracle food. And it's called as miracle food because it nourishes the finer brain tissues and it sharpens our spiritual intelligence. But there are many devotees, you're talking about devotees, there are many devotees who are turning vegans. Vegans means they are stopping even drinking cow's milk. So we had this discussion in our Bhakti Vaibhav class also last year, and I have seen there is a big group of devotees who are turning vegans mainly because they are seeing that cows, even dairy cows, which you know are used for giving milk, are being mistreated in the industry, in the dairy industry. And actually cows are supposed to be milked lovingly. We see many pictures of Krishna or Nanda Maharaj, so lovingly they milk the cows. But here, you know, there are some machines attached to the cow's udder, and a person sits in the computer room, and he then, you know, through the computer he adjusts what pressure should be there on those machines which are attached to the udder and how fast the milk should be extracted. So it's so impersonal, and there is no love at all in that milk, extracting of milk from the cow. So because of hearing such news, I know, I have also heard that many devotees are turning vegan. And I was reading a discussion on Kurma Prabhu's blog about this. Kurma Prabhu was also asked that, you know, your Hare Krishna devotees are promoting so much cow protection, then why y'all are drinking milk? Because dairy cows are not treated nicely. Then why are y'all drinking milk and contributing to that mistreatment or suffering of dairy cows also? And Kurma Prabhu had answered over there that he said that, first of all, he quoted Lord Krishna as the reason. He said that, I am still a lacto-vegetarian, or I drink milk, Kurma Prabhu said. He said that because Lord Krishna likes milk products. So then if we don't, you know, especially in our homes, like in the temple still it's okay because there are deities and everything is cooked just for the deities. But at home, for example, if you have to offer some milk or some milk products to your deities, then who will consume it? So he said that because Krishna likes milk, and that is why we are also having milk. Krishna likes milk and Krishna likes all the milk products like butter, yogurt. Krishna loves all these things, rasgulla, things which are made out of milk. So because of that, we are continuing to be lacto-vegetarians. That is first reason which Kurma Prabhu quotes. And the second reason he quotes, he gives the example of Srila Prabhupada. So he says that Prabhupada never said that you should be vegans and stop drinking milk, because Prabhupada always still maintained that milk is miracle food. And in fact, there is a pastime in Leelamrita where Prabhupada was informed that Prabhupada was in America, and one of the devotees came and told Prabhupada that, you know, to how we see all these milk in the shopping centers being advertised, vitamin D, they say there is vitamin D in the milk, or there is calcium, added calcium, all these things are being advertised for the milk. So Prabhupada was told that one of the milk which they were buying, or most of the milk rather, has vitamin D in it. And that vitamin D sometimes comes from some fish source or animal source or something, Prabhupada was told. And then Prabhupada said that what to do, because milk has to be consumed. So once we've paid for it, then you know we are not adding to that karma of whatever they have added. Once we've paid for it, obviously we look out for vegetarian options, but if you know secretly something like that has been added by the industry, then once we've paid for it, then we are not imbibed in that karma. So Prabhupada said that then still we accept it and we offer it to the deities. So Prabhupada said, obviously take efforts and find out which milk doesn't have this adulteration of having some animal product in it in the form of vitamin D. But he said that otherwise, because the deities like milk, so we offer to the deities and we have that prasadam. Because otherwise the maha prasadam will go waste. So the fact is there that yes, milk is a miracle food. It is mentioned in the Shastras how it sharpens our intelligence. So if we stop drinking milk, then we are not allowing that thing to happen. Plus, if we stop drinking milk, then what will we offer to the deities? We are stopping the offering of milk products to the deities, which the deities also like. And Kurma Prabhu also says that, you know, whether I stop drinking milk, the dairy industry is going to continue. The dairy industry is not going to stop. So at least that milk which has come from the cow, and I'm taking it and offering to the deities, then that cow is getting the benefit of her milk being used in the deity service and the devotee service. And at least the cow will not have that suffering in her next life because her milk was used for the deities and the devotees. So that is the understanding which I got after reading Kurma Prabhu. Any other questions or comments?
Just on that topic of the milk, is that milk actually created by the brain tissues?
No, Prabhupada, when he was in America, he knew that the milk which is being consumed is not coming from cows which have been lovingly milked with hand. Prabhupada knew that. Prabhupada was very well aware how dairy cow industry operates. So, no, Prabhupada was not exactly meaning, like, obviously that's the ideal standard. Prabhupada always wanted that ISKCON temples have their own farms and they grow their own foodstuffs and have their own milk production by those cows which are lovingly looked after by ISKCON temples. Like in the Bhaktivedanta manner, there is all the cow milk which is offered to the deities comes from the milk which is in the cow, from the cows of the manor. They don't buy milk from outside for the deities. So Prabhupada always wanted that standard, but you know, when Prabhupada was in US, he knew that that standard is, it's in the making. It will take time for such a standard to come up. So Prabhupada was meaning cows which comes from the dairy industry. But yes, when we know that, you know, there is just, even I heard it's just pipe water. So we try to buy whatever is the best option and which we can afford, obviously, you know, like buy the organic milk. We try to buy the organic and unhomogenized milk, which I read in again Kurma Prabhu's book, you know, that Pura Parmalit milk, which is unhomogenized and organic. So you try to buy the best milk which you can afford, which wouldn't have so much of adulteration or contamination. And I know many devotees in Bhakta Bhavan, I think Koti Prabhu is spearheading that thing. They are ordering milk from some farm. So it comes 2 or 3 times a week, it comes in 4 liters bottle. And then they use it for a few days. And that comes directly from a farm. So they said that still we are not sure that after, you know, that a cow has stopped giving milk, whether it is sent to the slaughter industry. Maybe they are doing that. But at least till that time they are milking the cow nicely and there is no adulteration in the milk. So like that, devotees try to find ways and means of having somewhat pure milk in Kali Yuga. It's hard, but you know, we try.
That brings the question of all the milk available in the market. Is false milk better compared to false? False milk, no variation. Is that the best milk available?
I'm not sure. I know there is one pure organic milk.
False.
No, is it false?
Yeah.
It says pure.
Yeah.
It says pure on it. I think it's Parmalit brand, if I'm not wrong. It says organic milk. It's a green color 1 liter carton, which is unhomogenized and organic. So that is the best option in the market. Otherwise, you buy, like, you know, order from the farms, which some of the devotees are discovering. Even Amal Gaur Sundar Prabhu, one another devotee, he's also ordering from some farm. And that milk is not so expensive, Howard. It's not atrociously expensive that we can't afford it.
This book, do you recommend to give some interesting knowledge about meat eating disadvantages and how to get some knowledge about cow protection and that area?
So, Prabhuji is asking which book would you recommend to explain to someone about the implications of meat eating and also cow protection, where some details about how cows should be protected are given. So, I have read the Higher Taste book, Prabhuji, and I find it very informative. It has got lots of data on cow protection and more data on meat eating, why meat should not be consumed. So, that is one of the books I would recommend. The whole entire first section of that book has details about how meat is, what are the implications, what are the economic health and different implications of eating meat. But otherwise there are many websites for this. If you just Google search, there are many websites which are maintained by devotees about importance of cow protection. And like even on Facebook we keep receiving these emails or these short videos which talk about, in fact just 2-3 days ago somebody had shared a video that if once in a week the whole of Britain population, if they go meat free just once a week, then it is, you are stopping greenhouse emissions, like you know those greenhouse emissions which come because of producing meat, and it is equivalent to taking 5 million cars off the road. If just once a week, like one day in a week, people stop eating meat in Britain. So you know there are some very informative videos like that on the internet. So that is another source. But otherwise Higher Taste has lots of information on meat eating. And it is very good for telling somebody at the entry level what are the implications of meat eating.
And are there any lectures or anything which you can hear which give us
some? Yes, there are lots of lectures in...
Do you recommend any particular lectures?
Goraksha, if you put Goraksha, you know, in the ISKCON Desire Tree, there are many lectures on cow protection, Prabhuji, because they have that Vada farm, and where they are actually promoting this culture of, you know, self-sustainable living. So they have lots of cows over there. So those devotees have given many lectures on Goraksha, and there are many Maharas also who have given lectures on cow protection. Cow protection or Goraksha, you can. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Sure.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Sure.